الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن خير الكلام كلام الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد We give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has made it possible for us to converge today. How many a time does a man think he will do a thing and Allah does not make it possible? We here today, we had thought that we would converge last week, but Allah, from His Sunnah, He did not permit for one reason or the other. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. La yus'alu amma yaf'alu wa hum yus'alu. Allah is not asked about why He does what He does. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not asked, why did you do this? Why should you have done this? Wa hum yus'alu. We, mankind, we are those who are asked. Allah is not asked why He does what He does. It is mankind that is asked why they do what they do. When mankind does anything good or bad, Allah asks them. But when Allah does what He wants, no one asks Him. So He says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, La yus'alu amma yaf'alu wa hum yus'alu. Allah is not asked about what He does. It is the people that are asked about what they do. Last week we intended to converge, but out of His Mashi'a, out of His will, He decided otherwise. So now that we are able to converge today, it behoves us. It is incumbent on us to thank Him for that. So we say Alhamdulillah. And in our saying Alhamdulillah, we are doing two things. We are thanking Him and we are praising Him. We are thanking Him subhanahu wa ta'ala for what He has done. And then we are praising Him by way of asking for more. Because He says subhanahu wa ta'ala, In shakartum la azidannakum. If you thank me, if you are grateful to me, la azidannakum. La azidannakum. I will certainly increase my favors on you. So we thank Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. He alone deserves thanks and praise. We seek His blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The members of the household of this messenger Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam. And his family, his companions radiallahu anhum, all of them. And on all those who follow His teachings until the day of Qiyamah. Ameen. Amma ba'd. We today are starting another leg. Another in the series of our classes. And we thought that we should read a book that has to do with us as individuals. Usually we Muslims like to complain about what people do to us. But we've taken and paid less attention to ourselves. We Muslims, we've paid more attention to what non-Muslims do to us. We paid more attention to that than what we do to ourselves. our case is becoming similar to what Allah said in the Quran. May Allah forgive us all. Allah says, وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ. These people, at the time of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, there were some of the people who, when they became Muslims today, in the next few moments, they had done something that contradicted their Islam. وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ. Many of them, مَا يُؤْمِنُ, they had hardly believed. They had hardly accepted Iman. إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ. Except that they soon went back into shirk. This is very common in our environment. You would find a Muslim praying, observing Salah, but he has something in his pocket, thinking that thing will protect him and preserve him. It's a shirk. Akbar or Asghar, major or minor. So, we live in an environment where, apart from things like this, there are also concepts, beliefs, ideas that are far from Islam. But unfortunately, the Muslims have taken them as ideas. Ideas that when a person has it in his mind, the idea is the idea of shirk and kufr. But that is iman to the Muslims in our environment today, unfortunately. So we had thought that, and unfortunately, if this is the condition of a Muslim, he has a lot of problems. Because the Muslim who does not have a problem to fear, no matter his sin, is the one who has not made shirk with Allah. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, Man mata walam yushrik billahi shay'a dakhala al-jannah. Man mata walam yushrik billahi shay'a dakhala al-jannah. Whoever dies not having joined anything in partnership with Allah will enter al-jannah. What about the one who dies claiming Islam while he joined partnership with Allah? Aisha. Allah said in Surah Al-Baqarah, He says, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَأَنذَرْتَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُنذِرْهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ خَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ وَعَلَى سَمْعِهِمْ وَعَلَى أَبْصَارِهِمْ غِشَاوَةٌ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عظيم. Allah said, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ, there are amongst people, مَنْ يَقُولُ, those who say, آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ, we believe in Allah. Allah said, وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ, but they are not believers. So it is not sufficient to claim Iman. It is not sufficient to claim Islam. It remains that Islam is actually sin. It is not sufficient to say, I am a Muslim. I am Ibrahim, Muhammad, Abdul Aziz. It is not sufficient. It remains for that Islam to be sin. Allah says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ, they say, آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ, we have believed in Allah. وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, we have believed in the last day. Allah says, وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ, but they are not believers. So you see, it is not sufficient to say, I'm a Muslim. It is not sufficient to say, I pray, I observe Salah, I have performed Hajj 17 times. It is not sufficient, because all of these things will not be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except there is Iman, without shirk. Allah warns the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. He says, وَلَقَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ وَإِلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ وَلَتَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Look at the Dhamair of Takhatub. Allah said, وَلَقَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ إِلَيْكَ Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام. We have certainly revealed to you, Muhammad. Allah is talking to the Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام. وَلَقَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ Muhammad قَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ لَقَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ قَدْ أَوْ لَقَدْ أَوْكَدُ مِنْ قَدْ وَلَقَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ We have revealed unto you وَإِلَّا الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ Not you alone. And to the messengers and the anbiya, rusul, prophets before you. What was that message? لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ If you, Muhammad, the Prophet Muhammad, if you ever join partners with me, لَا يَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ I will waste all your deeds. What about the person who is not Muhammad? Few days ago, here, people worship river, here. There are Muslims jubilating with them. And perhaps majority of those you see worshipping the river are Muslims. They will perform khamsu salawah. They might have gone for Hajj. They might have paid zakah. They might have fasted 30 days of Ramadan. Yet they celebrate that a river deserves worship. This is shirk. So if Allah said to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, لا يحبطن عملك if you make joint partners with me, I will waste your deeds. What about me? He will waste the deeds. Allah said it to me. Not only that, whoever's deeds are wasted by Allah, Allah followed it. He said, وَلَا تَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ And in that case, in that time, you would have been amongst the losers. Who are those who are losers? The man had fasted in Ramadan. He had performed Hajj. He had paid zakah. He prayed some to salawah. He even perhaps went to a masjid to make itikaf. All of these will be wasted. Is he a loser or not? مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ هُوَ نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الْخُسْرَانِ He is certainly amongst the losers. We ask Allah's refuge from loss. So we had thought that because of the dangers of shirk, because of the dangers of kufr, and the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that shirk is nearer to each of you, كَشِرَاكِ نُعَالِ أَحَدِكُمْ Like the straps of your shoes. The straps of your shoes. As close as it is or as they are to you, the shirk is closer to you than that. That is, a man would or a person would easily commit shirk. Easily commit shirk. Anybody. It means that it deserves that we pay attention to it. Most times when issues like this are discussed, people look at other people rather than themselves. If you say so thing makes somebody a kafir, they start looking at people that those things make kafir rather than looking at themselves. Am I okay? Is my iman okay? Is it sound? Because what we must make sure doesn't spoil, that is the last card, that is the last resort. That is the recourse of the Muslim. Once he fails in it, he has failed woefully. No matter how sinful a Muslim is, hear it again. No matter how sinful a Muslim is, he will still enter Al-Jannah at the end of the day if he does not commit shirk and kufr. No matter how sinful he is, it means if he misses everything, if he throws away everything, if he fails in everything, he must not fail in the matters that are connected to Islam, that are connected to Iman. He must not have anything to do with shirk or kufr in any way. When he does not do that, all other things are simple. All other things are amendable. In fact, he can get to the sight of Allah on the day of Qiyamah and Allah says, Go, I have forgiven you all your sins. The Prophet said that, alayhi salatu wasalam, in a very popular hadith. The scholars of hadith call this hadith Hadithu Difaqa, the hadith of the kind. And Imam al-Tirmidhi and others amongst Ashab al-Sunan have reported this hadith. The hadith is authentic, inshallah. They call the hadith, hadith of bitaqa, the hadith of the catch. What did it say? The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will bring forth a Muslim. Muslim, mu'min, mu'min billah. He didn't die having committed shirk or kufr, or repented for before his death. So he came, or he comes on the day of Qiyamah. Allah will say, you committed zina. Say yes. You stole some money. Say yes. You lied one day. Say yes. You did this. You'll be acknowledging them. Because there is no lying on the day of Qiyamah. Here you are. There is no deception on the day of Qiyamah. Even munafiqun will find it difficult to tell a lie on the day of Qiyamah. So the Prophet said, alayhi salam, it will be put on the scale of his good deeds, and the scales of his sins will outweigh the scales of good deeds. What is that? وَأَمَّا مَنْ فَكُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَخَفَّفَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ. So it becomes that his mizan, his scale of good deeds becomes light, and the scale of evil deeds becomes strong, heavy, overbearing over the other. So Allah will say, where do you think you are going to now? So it is fire. Allah will say, no, there is no fire for you. He will ask the malaika, get off his cart, his bitaqa. That's why the hadith is called hadith bitaqa. The hadith of the cart. Get off his cart. Allah will say to him, because today is a day, la tuzlamu nafsun shay'a. No soul will be dealt with unjustly. Bring his cart. So his card will be sought, his card will be asked for. Where is his card? What is on that card? His kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. His iman, his tawheed will be on the card. His tawheed is inscribed on that card. So the card will be brought forward to Allah on the day of Qiyamah. And Allah will say it should be placed on the scale of good deeds. This card on which La ilaha illallah is inscribed will overweigh all the rest of the sins he has committed. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah will overweigh all the sins that had overweighed his good deeds on the day of Qiyamah. Allah will say, see now, see what your iman had done to you. And by that, Allah will forgive him the other sins and he will be admitted into them. What we are saying is, the last card, we can call it a card now. The last card for the Muslim is what? His iman. That he must not die as a kafir, even when he claims iman. He must not die as a mushrik, even when he utters the statements of iman. Because it is possible that the person is offering statements of iman while he is actually a kafir. What is the evidence? We have read the verse. Allah said, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. They will say, we believe in Allah, we believe in the day of Qiyamah, but مَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. They are not believers. So it means, saying it is not sufficient. Performing salah is not sufficient. What about the iman upon which the salah is based on? Fasting. Who are those Allah ordered to fast? Allah says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu kutiba alaykumus siyam. Wa kayfa al insan laysa alayhi iman. What about a human being that doesn't have iman? Can he then fast? He said, no, because those who are addressed and asked to fast are who? Muslims. But he has spoiled his iman with going to watch. Yes, it's part of it. Watch. Support. Every form of support for shirk. We will come to it. every form of support for shirk affects the iman, and the effect can be permanent or temporary. It can be major or what, or minor. So you see now that I deserve that I understand and you understand what keeps us on iman, what sustains our iman, and what spoils it. If a person is on salah, even if he is the imam leading us in salah, if he breaks the wind, what does he do? What does he do? He will say taslim, some of them, or he will just leave the salah like that, because he's certain that the wudu is vitiated, nullified, and therefore the salah is what? Nullified. What about the one who has iman but doesn't know what nullifies the iman? We know what nullifies wudu. Shouldn't we know what nullifies iman? Because wudu and salat and zakah and sawm are useless without iman. Just like salat is useless without wudu. Salat is useless without wudu. Fasting, Ramadan, Hajj, Sadaqah, Zakah, they are useless without iman. So does it not behove us to understand what makes somebody nullifying a person's Islam and iman? Definitely it does. So inshallah, we intend to read the book Nawaqid al-Islam, those things that nullify the Islam of a person, or the nullifiers of an individual's Islam. The book we intend to read has only mentioned 10. The ulama say 10 because those are the most frequent and the most dangerous. The most frequent 10 and the most dangerous 10. Well, by the time we start reading the book, you see it is common. Would you not have heard somebody say, making dua to a sheikh will do something for me? You've not heard it before? It's a shirk. The person who says, sheikh will do something for me, and the person who says, sheikh will do something for me, they are the same. The person who says, sheikh, help me, the person who says, sheikh will help me, they are the same. Is shirk. لأنه يدعو من دون الله من لا يستجيب له إلى يوم القيامة. Because he is supplicating to somebody or something that can never answer his dua, his supplication, until the day of Qiyamah. In fact, elsewhere Allah says, وَهُمْ عَنْ دُعَاهِهِمْ غَافِلُونَ. In fact, in that supplication, those things they are praying to, they don't know that they are praying to them. So Shebu doesn't know you are praying to it. Also, Shebu doesn't know they are praying to it. They are brothers. And that's why, from the things that lead to faithlessness is shirk. A professor was here once. He read it in the paper. So, a professor, Professor Nobel Laureate, he was here. He said he went to Brazil and they are worshippers of Oshun in Brazil. There, they could not find the Oshun water to worship. Their God was absent. So, he promised them in his word. He promised to bring the water from Oshogbo to them in Brazil. He wants to transfer their God from Oshogbo to Brazil. A professor, a Nobel laureate. A Nobel laureate, Ikhwan. He will transfer a God from Oshogbo in a bottle to some worshippers of that God in Brazil. Ghafilun, heedlessness is what they have. my dear brothers, we are just trying to make us understand the matter that it is very important for each and every one of us to know what are those things that nullify Islam of a Muslim. Just like we know what are those things that nullify the wudu. We know what are those things that nullify salah. We know those things that break a marriage. We know those things. People know those things that when they do it, they'll be sacked in their office. Why should they not know what those things are that when they do, they will be sacked and they will become enemies of Allah? That is the reason why we have chosen to read the book Nawaqid al-Islam. The ulama say these 10 that are contained in that book, they are the worst and the most frequent to the people. But before that, why are we sitting in a masjid like this? Like this. Why? Why? If we find an answer for our why, how should we be sitting? What are the lessons connected to? Because our religion, our deen Islam, is not a religion without manners. Everything you do, you have the manner. Muslims say this a lot. When they have to do a conversation with their non-Muslim friends, especially the so-called our allies, when they are with their elitist group, they say, look here, Islam talks about everything. But it ends there. Ask him, cohabiting with your family, your wife, how do we do it? He doesn't know, but he knows that Islam discusses everything. It's not proper. So before we proceed, we'll do two things in 1, 2, 3 classes before we go into our book. The first is, why are we teaching a masjid like this? We'll try to provide an answer for this question from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, who has been asked to deliver the message to us. If the people up there had known that it is prohibited to raise voices in the masjid, they would not do it. I've always said it. The problem with we Muslims is that we feel proud, we are happy, and alhamdulillah, that our religion is a full package. But we don't know, so we don't practice. We don't know. There's a masjid we perform after salah. The women start shouting, please come and contribute money. Come and contribute money so that we can, women, in the masjid, on the day of Jummah, immediately after salat in Jummah. It is from the signs of the last hour that the women raise their voices in the masjid. Yes. So what I'm saying is, as we are seated here, it is proper for us to understand why are we sitting. You could go out and someone asks you, brother, what are you doing in the masjid? What is that that you are doing? We must be able to provide answers. In a class once with some people, I asked them, what is the meaning of the word Al-Qur'an? What does it mean? Qur'an. Al-Qur'an. What does it mean? It's a holy book of God. Holy. Did the Quran call itself holy? Okay. What is the meaning of Al-Quran? So it has to be explained. The Quran, that word, lexically means that which is read. What you read. Something you read. So when Jibreel came, alayhi salatu wasalam, he told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Iqra. You understand? Iqra al-maqru. Read what we read. Read what is to be read. So what we read is called Al-Quran. Something a person reads. That is the meaning lexically in language. But in Islam, that is the book revealed by Allah to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over the period of 23 years. The point of reference in that is that there are many things we Muslims don't care to know about. And we don't know about them. So when a person asks us about them, we perhaps don't find answers to them. When we find answers, we rumble and ramble those answers. We murmur the answer. Just try to look for something somewhere to provide an answer. This is what we do. The Ibn Allah, we should stop that. From this moment, ask about everything. Ask. Fas'alu. This is the command of Allah. So you and to me. Ask. Find out. Find out. The one who does not know should ask. Because the ignorance, not knowing and not asking, could send somebody to his grave earlier than he wanted. Yes. As time goes on, we'll be mentioning issues like this. So the question comes again, why are we sitting here and like this? You could ask me, Ustaz, why are you sitting on this table? Are you saying Islam told us to sit on a table like this? And I'm sure there are people who will say it is a bid'ah. It is an innovation to sit like this as I am seated on this table. Is it? Is it not? We should be knowing. Because unfortunately we live in a world now where there are a lot of conflicts. And everybody is reading the conflict. We all have phones now. You can browse the net. On a single matter you'll be reading 10, 15 opinions. Everybody is analyzing. Everybody is saying, this is my own opinion. This is my own view. This is my own thinking. This is my own analysis. I think the Quran and the Sunnah are not there again. So find out to know about everything you do. It's a basis for everything, not just here. Everything you do. Know why are we doing this thing? Is that how Allah has specified in the Quran? And is that how the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam has taught us to do? So the question is, why are we sitting like this? We find out in the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. This hadith is reported from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam by the companion whose kunya is Abu Waqid al-Laythi. Abu Waqid al-Laythi. Abu Waqid al-Laythi. Al-Harith ibn Auf. His name is Al-Harith ibn Auf. His kunya is Abu Waqid. His nisbah is al-Laythi. Radiallahu anhu. There are three companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam whose names were Abu Waqid. There was Abu Waqid and Numayri. And there was Abu Waqid, Mawla Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Abu Waqid, who was a servant of the Prophet Muhammad. We've not heard that perhaps. Abu Waqid, the Prophet had a servant whose name was what? Abu Waqid. Mawla Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And there was another companion whose name was Abu Waqid and Numayri. But the one who has reported this hadith, his name is Abu Waqid al-Laythi. Radiallahu anhu. Very important hadith. He has reported about 24 ahadith. Radiallahu anhu. But this hadith of his, for you to know how important it is the only hadith that occurs in Bukhari and Muslim. From this companion, in Bukhari and Muslim, this companion, radiallahu anhu, the servant of the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, he does not have any hadith except this. Radiallahu anhu. He has other ahadith, 23 others, but they are not in Bukhari. And when you have a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, you know what that means. You do not start asking if the hadith is the hadith of Bukhari. You don't start asking whether it is authentic. It is authentic. The Ummah agrees that everything in Bukhari and Muslim is authentic. According to Al-Imam al-Zahabi and others, rahimahumullah, this companion, radiallahu anhu, he said, أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ بَيْنَمَا هُوَ جَالِسٌ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ وَالنَّاسُ مَعَهُ إِذْ أَقْبَلَ ثَلَاثَةُ نَفَرٍ فَأَقْبَلَ إِثْنَانِ إِلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَذَهَبَ وَاحِدٌ قَالَ فَوَقَفَ على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فأما أحدهما فرأى فرجة في الحلقة فجلس فيها وأما الآخر فجلس خلفه وأما الثالث فأدبر ذاهبا فلما فرج رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال ألا أخبركم عن النفر الثلاثة أما أحدهم فأوى إلى الله فآواه الله وأما الآخر فاستحيا الله منه وأما الآخر فأعرض الله عنه رواه البخاري ومسلم أبو واكل الليث رضي الله عنه said أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم بينما هو جالس في المسجد Once while the Prophet Muhammad, the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, Rasul, was sitting inside the masjid, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, baynama, while at the time that, during the time that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam was seated in the masjid, wa nasu ma'ahu, and the people were seated with him. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam used to sit in the masjid والناس يجلسون معه, and the people would do what? They would sit with him. So somebody could ask you, why are you sitting? You say, somebody, the Prophet used to do so. Alayhi salatu. We'll interpret the hadith and then come back to the point of benefit, inshallah. So he said, while this occurred, he said, إِذْ أَكْبَلَ ثَلَاثَةُ نَفَرٍ. Then three people passed by. Three people were passing. In the riwayah of Anas ibn Malik, because the hadith is also reported by Anas radiallahu anhu, he said, يَمُرُّون. They were passing by. So while they passed by, two people out of the three, they saw the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam seated, and the people seated around him. So he said, radiallahu anhu, فَأَكْبَ يُعَلِّمُ النَّاسِ. He was explaining Islam to the people. So to sit in the masjid and explain Islam to the people is from the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. How do we know? One way we know this hadith of Abu Waqil in al-Layth. There are many others. We know the second hadith in Al-Arba'un of Al-Imam Al-Nawawi, بينما نحن جلوس عند النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. This جلوس عند النبي كانوا في المسجد. They were in the masjid with the Prophet Muhammad. We remember the hadith that Jibreel came and started asking the Prophet, أخبرني عن الإسلام, أخبرني عن الإيمان, and all of that. والإحسان. That occurred in the masjid. There is a companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who saw and met and conversed with Al-Masih Dajjal. Dajjal was met by a companion of the Prophet Muhammad. sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His name is Tamim ibn Aus ad-Dari. The hadith is in Sahih Muslim, Kitab al-Fitan. Tamim was talking to Dajjal, and Dajjal was responding and replying to him. Dajjal was asking him questions. Has that man come, the last of the messengers, who will migrate from Makkah to Medina? He said, yes, he has come. At that time, Tamim ibn Aus ad-Dari was a Christian. When Tamim came back to Medina, he came to the Prophet Muhammad. And he narrated this event and accepted Islam. When he heard Dajjal talking about the Prophet Muhammad. So after Salatul Asr, as is in the riwayah of Fatima bint Qais, radiallahu anha, the Prophet turned to the people after Salatul Asr, like this, and said to them, "Ala rislikum, none of you should go anywhere. Stay put where you are. I have a hadith to narrate to you from Tamim ibn Aus. فَحَدَّثَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْهِ صَلَاةُ وَسَلَامُ عَنْ Tamim." So the Prophet gave the hadith, reporting from Tamim. You know, it used to be the other way around. The companions would report a hadith from him, alayhi salatu wasalam. But this time around, he is reporting the hadith from Tamim and saying, "Haddathani Tamim, radiyallahu anhu." Tamim was a Christian. Allah honored with Islam. Any person who is a Christian and who accepts Islam, Allah has honored him. Tamim, he said it, radiyallahu anhu. One day, Tamim ibn Aus ad-Dari said, this hadith was collected by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad. It is hadith Hasan. Tamim said, radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, dear brothers, that la yadkhulanna hadha al-amru, la yablughanna hadha al-amru ma balagha al-layl wa al-nahar. Tamim said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, لَيَبْلُغَنَّ هَذَا الْأَمْرُ مَا بَلَغَ اللَّيْلُ وَالنَّهَارِ. This Islam, this matter, this affair, la, certainly will reach everywhere that the day and the night reaches. And there is nowhere on the earth that the day and the night does not reach. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, Islam will reach everywhere that the day and the night reaches. La yatruku Allahu bayta wabrin wala madrin illa adkhalahu hadha din. Allah will not leave a house that is built either of mud, a mud house, or a brick house, whatever, except that adkhalahu hadha din. Allah will put this din inside it. Bi'izzin aziz, by way of honoring some people. When Islam comes, Islam honors people. It changes them from people who worship river, who carry river water from Africa to Brazil. It will honor them and make them realize that that is stupidity. It will honor them. Islam honors them. وَيُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ وَيَعْدِيهِمْ إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Islam does that. So Tamim said, the Prophet said that, alayhi salam. He says, وَبِذُلِّ الظَّلِيلِ, and the way that Allah will disgrace some people. So when Islam comes, some people will be honored, some people will be disgraced. Tamim said, I am one of those who were honored by Islam. I was a Christian. But when I accepted Islam, there is no jizya on me to pay. I don't have any jizya. But my family does, because he himself and his elder brother accepted Islam in the Christian family. The rest of them rejected Islam. They were honored in Islam. The others were disgraced, because when they bring their jizya, they bring it disgrace. Wahum sagirun. Tamim said that, radiallahu anhu. He was the one who saw Dajjal. The point of reference for us now, at the moment, was that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did that after Salatul Asr in the masjid in Halqa, like this. Sit down where you are. And he started narrating to them the ahadith of Dajjal, radiallahu anhu. That is the sunnah of sitting in the masjid.
And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do that a lot, either after Salatul Subhi or Salatul Asr. That is why the ulama, when they pick the times of durus, they either make it after Salatul Subhi or they make it after Salatul Asr. For Salatul Subhi, there is another hadith, the hadith of Abu Huraira in Bukhari and Muslim, radiallahu anhu, in which the Prophet said alayhi salatu wa salam in his supplication, Allahumma barik li ummati fi bukuriha. Allahumma barik li ummati fi bukuriha. The Prophet said alayhi salatu wa salam, oh Allah, barik li ummati fi bukuriha. Bless my ummah in what they do early in the morning. Bless my ummah in what they do early in the morning. So it makes the ulama to fix their classes early in the morning. When they want us to come to our schools to learn biology and chemistry, what time do they fix it? Afternoon? Afternoon? So when we learn the Quran, learn it in the morning too. In the schools where we were, in the universities and the secondary schools, maths and physics, when do they fix them? English, when do they fix them? Because there is baraka in bukur. There is baraka in what you do in the morning. When you resume in your offices, when do you resume? 7 o'clock, 7:15, 8 o'clock. Because the Prophet prayed, alayhi salatu wasalam, Allahumma barik li ummati fi bukuriha. Oh Allah, bless my ummah in what they do early in the morning. So if we are not fixing it now, we can fix it early in the morning, if that is what we choose. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam used to have his halqa either in the morning after Salatul Subhi or in the evening after Salatul Asr. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was seated in a masjid. The best place to learn Islam is in the masjid. The best place to learn Islam, masjid. Learn generally masjid. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Medina from Mecca, what did he do first? He built a three-story building, built a masjid. It was in that masjid he was teaching. It was in that masjid he was sleeping. And those who came to him to learn, it was in the masjid. Alayhi salatu wa sallam, he was preaching Islam. Islam spread from the masjid. Islam spread from the masjid. It's all the time. And that's why when you see our brothers from the north come to the south, or wherever they are, what do they do first? Masjid. When you build a masjid, you build the people. Of course, they'll come for salah. So it has started. When they come for salah, they will be led. There's no need for democracy. We are not saying they should not vote or they should vote. What I'm saying is, they are not going to have to vote for an imam. The imam will ease out from the folk because they will start asking, "Man akra'una kitab Allahi?" Who is the most knowledgeable of Allah's books amongst us? I'm sure that doesn't bring about a fight. Does it? It doesn't bring Governor Fulan 1, Governor Fulan 2. Do you understand? So easily the community is built. So the mosque is very important in Islam. Very important. And it is the best land on the earth. Jubair ibn Mut'im. We know the story of Jubair ibn Mut'im. We know how he accepted Islam. He was a kafir. And the Prophet was very lenient with them, radiallahu alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet was lenient with kuffar, especially when it deserves that they are you are lenient with them. When you are lenient with them, you are able to pass the message of Islam. And especially when they are not fighting the Muslim for his Islam. Be lenient with them. Jubair was a kafir and he was sleeping in the Prophet's masjid. Yes, the hadith is in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. He said one day the Prophet came to lead Salatul Maghrib, and as he was leading the Salah, he was sleeping. The Prophet didn't say, stand up, stand up, we want to pray, get out. He didn't say that, alayhi salam. Today we are reading the hadith of Jubair about the masjid. Jubair ibn Mut'im radiallahu anhu was sleeping. And the Prophet was reading Salah, Salat al-Maghrib. He was reading Surah Tur. وَالطُّورِ وَكِتَابٍ مَسْتُورٍ. So when he got to أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ. Were they created from nothing, or that they were the creators? Do we understand? Those who worship other than Allah. Did they just come like that? Or they created themselves? He said, the first thing that came to my mind when I heard that statement was, no, I did not create myself. He said, I agreed that the first thing I had to do is accept Islam. Before they finished that Salat al-Maghrib, he was already in Salat with them. He went to the bathroom and he made go to ulama say, this is evidence that he had been listening to the lectures of the messenger. That was how he knew, alayhi salatu wasalam. That was how Tamim knew that what he needs to do if he is accepting Islam was to go and do what? Give himself a bath and then join the Prophet Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. We want to read this hadith. Jubair said, radiallahu anhu, that he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which place on earth, which point on earth is the best point? Do we understand? Which location, which places on the earth are the best of places? He said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La adri hatta as'ala Jibreel alayhi wa sallam. I don't know unless I ask Jibreel alayhi, the Prophet Muhammad. You who stars that knows all, sorry for you. Say you don't know when you don't know. That is itself knowledge. Because it means you know what you know. The Prophet said, I don't know unless I ask Jibreel. This hadith was reported by Imam Ahmad in his book. Say, La adri hatta as'ala Jibreel. Unless I ask Jibreel. When Jibreel came, he asked him, which places are the best places on the earth? And he told him, alayhi salatu wasalam. And the Prophet told us, alayhi salatu wasalam, his khayrul bilad masajiduha. Khayrul bilad masajiduha. Khayrul bilad masajiduha. If you ask me, why am I repeating? The Prophet used to do so, alayhi salam. Khayrul bilad masajiduha. The best of the lands are its mosques. The best place, if you ask, Ustaz, where is the best place on the land? On Aleku Wado here. Where is the best place? This mosque. If you are looking, you want to stay in the best place on the earth, in this area, this mosque. Khairul Bilad Masajid. Who reported the hadith? Jubair ibn Mut'im. Radiallahu anhu. So, it makes us understand that the mosque is very important. And Allah connects the mosque to Himself to show that the mosque is so noble, so vulnerable, so important. It says, وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ. The mosque belong to Allah. What about other places that is not mosques? That are not mosques? Don't they belong to Allah? Don't they? They do, of course, belong to Allah. So why is Allah saying, وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ لِلْتَمْلِيلِ وَالْتَقْرِيمِ. To differentiate and give the mosque an exclusive status. Yes, I own all the rest, but this one has special connection to me. The مَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ. They belong to Allah alone. Is there any place on the earth Allah is calling His own house? Except masajid. So if Allah chooses a house, not a government house, except if there's a masjid there, it is not Allah's house. The house that Allah owns and connects Himself with is what? Masjid. So when we sit in the masjid, like the Prophet did in the hadith of Abu Waqid,
and then we talk about Islam like the Prophet did alayhi salatu wasalam. We are following the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad.
No strings attached. Just as the companions did, three companions came, one chose to go, he went away. The other one chose to sit, he sat. And the other one chose to sit at the middle, he sat. No strings attached. The one who went away. The one who sat at the back. The one who sat in the middle. And each of them has its own reward. From who? Allah alone. The same thing here, no strings attached. Those who are here, they have their rewards, inshallah. With ikhlas. Yes, because anything anybody does without being sincere to Allah, Allah doesn't need it. It's a person, no matter what. It's another aspect of shirk. Yes, riya. Some of the ulama say it is shirkul akbar. Yes, from amongst them, shirkul Islam ibn Taymiyyah. So you see, it's not something to joke with. We'll come back to that, inshallah. I will clarify that what is most correct is that it is from shirku laughter, inshallah. So these companions came and did that. He said, "Fa'amma ahaduhuma," the first of them, "fara'a furjatan fil halqa." He saw a place in the halqa. People say, "Where are you saying? What are you saying halqa again now?" The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to conduct halaqat. This halqa. Halqatun, one single halqa. Majlisul ilm, if you choose. Majlisul ilm, if you choose. If you choose, call it halqa. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam conducted halqa. And it's plural. You can say halaqat, bi fathil lam. Halaqat. You can also say hilak. You can also say halak. They are all correct. You can say halaqatul ilm. Plural. You can say hilakul ilm. You can also say halakul ilm. They are all correct, the three of them. In the plural form of what? Halqa. So the Prophet used to make a halqa. Somebody will ask, what are the messenger? We are making halqa. Where is the proof? The Prophet used to make halqa with the messenger, Ali, with the companions. Khalas? So if you ask me, why are we sitting here? This is it. Why is it after us? The Prophet used to do that. What are the conditions for joining? No conditions. Just come and sit down. After it, go. If there is anything that was mentioned that we don't understand, it's a clarification. No any other. Like the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam did not attach any strings. The only string is Iman and Muslim. That's it. If a Muslim, halal. Sit down, halqa, go from halqa. Halal, nothing more. Where is the prostitution the Prophet used to be in alayhi salam? Who reported the hadith? Abu Waqid ibn Layth. We just make this hadith the case study. Otherwise, there are other hadith that describe the halakot of the messenger. Alayhi salatu wasalam. We start using the word halakot. After we have understood its meaning, inshallah, that's what we will do. Once we introduce a word, we will not come back to it. English will be again. We will imagine that we had understood it. So that would mean we are coming up, inshallah. May Allah accept it as an act of worship. He says, "Fara'a furjatan fil halqa, fajalasa fiha." He found a space in the halqa, he sat there. Who said halqa, companion? About who? The Prophet Muhammad. Fajalasa fiha. This shows that when we come to halaqat like this, although we'll come back to it, our next two classes, inshallah, will be discussions on manners and etiquette of sitting in halaqat. Manners, the etiquette of sitting in where? Halaq. Or hilaq. Do we understand? Inshallah. Today is just what are the basics for halaqat or halaqat. The basis. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is to sit in. One day, a companion, radiallahu anhu, he did some things funny in the market with a woman. Something happened between them. So he came and reported to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What am I going to do? The ulama, the hadith is in Sahih Muslim, hadith of Abu Huraira and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. That occurred when the Prophet was in a halq. Hadith is in Sahih Muslim. So the other came and sat at the middle. This is evidence that Ishris ala maya unfawuka. And what did the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam? Awa illallahi fa awahu Allah. He came close to Allah and Allah drew him closer. So it means in halakat, we should seek to sit closer. Do we understand? That is, we'll come back to this when we're talking about the manat in the halqa. We are just mentioning it now because we mention it in the hadith. So he sat there. As for the other one, فَجَلَسَ خَلْفَهُ. He sat at the back. يَسْتَحْلِ. He was shy. The ulama say, what was he shy of? يَسْتَحْيَا. He was shy. He said he was shy to go away from the halq of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like the other person went away. Me, I no go like that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is explaining Islam. I will just come and look and go. I will not do that. Istahya, fastahya Allahu minhu, and Allah was shy of him. How? By the fact that He will not punish him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will not punish him. And when He does not punish him, He will show him mercy. A person that Allah is shy of, that I should turn away. And there are different classes of turning away. Iran, like the other person who comes to his own case. But the first two cases, the one who sat in the middle with the people, and the one who sat at the back. And you can see the one who went forward got nearer. He sat nearer to Allah, Allah brought you closer. The other one was shy. So don't be shy when it comes to good deeds. Go ahead. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, in hadith reported by Imam al-Bukhari, Ihris ala ma yanfawuka. Make haste towards what brings you benefit. Make haste towards what brings benefit to you. What benefits you? Don't delay. We do that a lot about the matters of dunya. Don't we? Abu Farida or Farida, if you have a phone call now, come to Wari this night. You have a contract of 10 million naira. Will you go this night? We will certainly go. But when it has to do with him, the tahaffaz, hold back. It's not proper. We should do like this first. In the third case, said alayhi salatu wasalam, a'arada, he turned away, fa'arada Allahu anhu. Allah turned away from him too. There are three ways of turning away. When a person turns away out of arrogance, that is kufur. As he's turning away, he's going out of Islam. We are not going to descend the ruling on him, apply the ruling to him. We will only make him understand the implications of what he has done. Do we understand? So when you see somebody do that, don't say, yeah, Kafir. No, don't do that. Say, my brother, do you know the meaning of what you have done? Allah said, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْتَرِي لَهْوَ الْحَدِيثِ لِيُضِلَّ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ وَيَتَّخِذَهَا هُزْوًا أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ عذاب مهين. وإذا تتلى عليهم آياتنا ولا مستكبرا. When our friends the Quran is read to them, ولا, they turn away, أدبر يعني, they turn away مستكبرا, out of arrogance. كأن لم يسمع. See, he has not heard it. They are not talking to him. Allah says, فبشره بعذاب أليم. Tell him that I will punish him severely. فبشره بعذاب أليم. عذاب أليم is not deserving of anybody except who? A kafir. Ulama say it means a person who turns away from majlis to zikr out of arrogance, he has that faith. May Allah protect us from that. So that is a thought. A'araba fa'arada Allah. But a person who makes a irad out of arrogance, his own case is the case of kufr. But a person who turns away out of Adamul Mubala, he just wasn't careful, he just from gafla, from nonchalance, negligence, this kind of a person, yes, he will not have the reward and Allah will turn away from him. It means that is a sin, although it does not reach the level of the first case. These are the classes of people who turn away. The third case of those who turn away, those who have hajatun mulihatun shar'iyatun. They have a haja, they have a need. They have a need that is legal in Islam. Do we understand? They have a need. Maybe a person is coming in to a halqa and he's called, ah, oh, please, your child, something like that, he has to run away. It's haja mulihatun. That is a pressing need that deserves his attention. He does not have a blame. In fact, perhaps he has reward because he is leaving the important for something that is more important. So he has a reward. Even when he has turned away, you see our religion? So flexible and dynamic. And it takes care of the circumstance of the individual. May Allah make us better Muslims. We have answered question one. Why are we? What are we doing? We try to give an answer from the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu. The Prophet used to sit in halaqat and he used to do that after salatu subhi, after salatu al-asr. His companions would be with him, they would sit down and start talking about Islam. And they would do that more in the masjid. And the one they do in the masjid is more beneficial than the one they do any other place. In fact, in a hadith that is reported by Abu Umama al-Bahili, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the one who comes to a masjid, لا يريد إلا أن يعلم خيرا أو يتعلمه. He does not intend except to either teach or learn good. It says, his reward, kahajjatin, it's like he's performing hajj, taman hajjatuhu, such that the hajj is what? Perfect, well-performed, sound hajj. The one who does what? He comes to the masjid to do what? To learn or teach. He has the reward of hajj, perfect hajj. Al-Imam Tabarani reported this hadith. Many of the scholars, Al-Imam Al-Mundiri, Al-Imam Al-Iraqi, many others, including Sheikh Al-Albani, have declared that this hadith is authentic, the hadith of Abu Umama. All of these goes to show the importance of learning in the masajid. And it shows the reward that is in place for the one who learns in the masjid. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our acts of worship, to make us mukhlisun, sincere people in everything that we do. Allah will not accept anything that is not done for his sake. Allah will not accept anything that is not done for his sake, brothers and women. Allah will not accept anything that is not done for his sake. He will rather punish a person who does a thing for the sake of any other thing apart from him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, when we come here, make sure you come for the sake of Allah. Purify your intentions. May Allah accept our acts of worship. Bismillah, in our next class, we will be discussing adabu halaqat al-ilm. The etiquette, the manners of the gatherings of learning. We beg Allah to keep us sound in iman and in our health and to provide us the opportunity to continue in the class. أقول ما أقول هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. The Prophet used to say that to عليه الصلاة والسلام. When he ends his speech, he would say أقول ما أقول لكم. أقول ما أقول هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. I have said what I have said, and I ask Allah to forgive me and forgive you too. عليه الصلاة والسلام. So inshallah, within the next few minutes before 6 o'clock, if we have few questions to ask, we could ask, and if we have answers to them, inshallah, we will provide. Otherwise, we will say we don't know. Like the Prophet said, alayhi salam. That one too is sunnah. When you ask what you don't know, you say, I don't know. It's sunnah. What is the proof? Jubair ibn Mut'im asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is the best land on the earth? I don't know. Unless I ask Jibreel. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If there are questions, we will give answers to them, inshallah. Listen. Alexa, raise your voice a bit. Helak, or halak, that are organized after Salatul Maghrib. Is it valid? You say yes. They are valid in terms of validity. But when you talk about preference, فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الْهَدِي هَدِي مُحَمَّدٍ. The best, خَيْرَ. When you say خَيْر, you are now talking about comparative. خَيْر is a comparative pronoun. That is better. So when you compare, when you are talking about which one is better, you say after Sufi or after. But when you talk about validity, is it allowed? It is allowed anytime. That the people have the ability to do it anytime. It's allowed. Alaykum salam. Can you please raise your voice a bit? If a person comes to a halqa, he had a bad intention before coming. When he comes now, he wants to change his intention. How is it? Yes. He will have the reward for the good side of the intention. Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen explained this in great details in his sharh of Kitab al-Tawheed, Al-Qawl al-Mufid. He said there are actions that, because what insincerity does is that it destroys that deed in which a person was insincere. So he said there are two types of deeds. Deeds that in the course of it, you can change the intention. And the deed will still be a deed. And deed that in the course of it, if you change the intention, the whole deed cannot be said to be a deed. I give you an example. Salat. A person started Salat with a bad intention. Let me give you an example of a bad intention. He wants to show that he's a hafiz of Quran. It's a bad intention. Is a bad intention. Not to talk of the one who wants to mislead the people. That's worse, of course. So, if his intention was that, and he prays the first rak'ah in Salatul Zuhr, and during the second rak'ah he changes the intention, how many rak'ahs has he performed? So Sheikh said, that bad intention with which he started destroys the whole Salah. Yes. He said that bad intention because the Salah cannot be valid in part. There's no partial Zuhur. You are either praying Zuhur or you are not praying Zuhur. If it's a Musafir, he was sincere in the first rak'ah, insincere in the second rak'ah, his Salah is valid, invalid, void, vain, futile. Intention, Ikhlas. Al-Imam Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah, was the first person that was called Amirul Mu'minin of the Hadith. He said, I have not taken care of anything that is more difficult for me than Ikhlas, sincerity. So we say there are some deeds that a person being insincere at the beginning or at the end destroys the whole deed. But there are some deeds that a person has 25 naira, for example. When he gave out 20 naira, he wants to show the people that he has money. And he's a good spender. That's a bad intention. But when he gave out the 5 naira, he was doing it for the sake of Allah. So the 5 naira will be accepted by Allah. That one he did in 20 naira initially will be rejected by Allah. So you see, it's acceptable. Because the first sadaqah is not connected to the second sadaqah. Do we understand? It means if you are making wudu, if you are sincere at the beginning, those parts that you know you are not sincere, go back to it quickly. Because Allah will not accept that part of a deed that is not done for his sake. He says, man amila, anybody who does amalan, any deed, ashraka fi ma'i ghayri, and he joins any person with me in that deed, taraktuhu wa shirkahu, I will abandon him and that deed that in which he has joined partners with me in it, I will abandon the two of them. So in his salah, Allah has abandoned some salah. Do you understand? But if the deed is a deed that some parts are good, some parts are bad, today he gave 10 naira, tomorrow he gave 20 naira with different intentions, the one that he did with a good intention, Allah will accept. The one that he did with a bad intention, Allah will reject. And the evidence is this hadith. The hadith is muttafaqun alayhi. May Allah grant us sincerity. Wallahi, sincerity is important in every deed. We'll go back to that in next class, inshallah. We'll discuss it more. It's the first manner of learning. The first etiquette of seeking knowledge, ikhlas. And yakuna lillah. This lillah can be two. It can be lillah wa li ghayri, for Allah and lacking what Allah wants is mukhlisina lahu ad-din, that it is for him alone. How is that? Is it difficult or not? Wallahi, it is difficult, my brother. Watch yourself. Like we said at the beginning, we have not come to start pointing fingers. Don't point fingers. Point the finger at yourself. Point the finger at yourself. I point my own at myself. Because the person who does not rectify himself is the loser. Yes. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, innama hiya a'malukum, it's your deed. Ufsiha lakum, I'm only recording them for you. Summa uwafikum iyaha, and then I'm going to reward each and every one of you with what you did. Faman wajada khairan, anybody who finds good, faliyahmadillah, you should thank Allah. Waman wajada ghayra dhalik, anybody who finds any other thing, فَلَا يَلُمَّنَّ إِلَّا نَفْسَ, he should not blame anybody but himself. That's all. The same rule applies to you, applies to me. Applies to her, applies to she. So let it and every person take care of himself. Ikhlas, very important. Unfortunately, it does not have a mirror where you can look and say, oh, you are, if you are performing salah now, people can look at you and say, you didn't raise your hands properly. Adi, you didn't place your hands rightly on your chest. You did not do this correctly. But ikhlas, nobody sees it. Except alimul ghayb wa shahada. He knows. That's why when he's talking about jihad, he said nobody should say somebody is mataya. Don't say that. He says, Allahu a'lamu biman yuklamu fi sabilihi. Allah alone knows who is killed for his sake. The time that they were killing, you know what was in his heart? He doesn't know. He didn't know. So why is he a shaheed? Unless Allah told you that person is a shaheed. Unless the Prophet tells you that person is a shaheed. But for you to go on the street and say, Hasan al-Banna, Shaheed Hasan al-Banna, when Allah asks you on the day of Qiyamah, how did you know that Hasan al-Banna is Shaheed? How do you know that so-and-so person is Shaheed, Messiah? How do you know that those people demonstrating and rising up against government, if it's illegal in Islam, and you say they are shuhada, martyrs, how did you know? Did you see his heart? What will you answer? Because Allah alone knew his intention. So my dear brothers, no, let me not start with you. So Abu Nasir and brothers, take care of your intention so that it does not spoil your deeds. May Allah preserve us and make our intention sincere for him alone and no other. We still have some time. Okay. Alaykum salam. A Muslim working in a ministry of tourism, and they give him duty post Monday morning or Friday morning, go and decorate the groove, that's what they call it. Go and decorate Oshun groove. Is this allowed? I'll just ask that person a question. If they put a fire with petrol and say enter inside Monday morning, your duty is to enter that fire, will you enter? The answer is the answer. But what they have done is worse than that. Because the person who burns in the petrol tanker fire carnage will only be punished with the flesh in this world. But the ones who go there and die there, Allah will punish him in this world, punish him in the hereafter. The answer is there for that. If they have given him an HCL, hydrochloric acid to drink, as he's supposed to, will he drink it? We are talking about Allah's rights. In fact, the person will say, even if I send her a letter of whatever, I don't care, I won't drink HCL. Allah's rights is more deserving to be preserved. Now, the last question. No, him first. The companion who saw Dajjal, his name is Tamim. Tamim. Mim. Yes. Mimun Mimun. Tamim. You are Abu Ruqayya Ibn Aus Ajari. Tamim. Yes. Tamim is one of the best names. Do you know what? Tamim was one of those who accepted Islam late. During the time of Umar, he was leading Taraweeh. Radiallahu anhu. One of the late entrants into Islam, Tamim. During the time of Umar, he was himself and Ubayy ibn Ka'b. In the report that is authentic, Muwatta'at, Umar ordered them to lead the people in 11 rakats of Taraweeh. People were praying and sitting down. Because of the length of the raka'ah, Tamim quickly, within the period of the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the time of Umar, he has surpassed people he met to the extent that he's been made imam to lead Taraweeh with Ubayy ibn Ka'ab. We know who Ubayy is, not today. I have said that was going to be our last test. Baba, I will allow you. Alaykum as-salam. Allahu Akbar. We are going to negotiate with them and educate them, inshallah. And we are going to be patient. We are going to educate. We are going to negotiate. عسى الله لعل الله يحدث بعد ذلك أمرا. Perhaps they too will be joining us soon. بإذن الله. My dear brothers, our mosques are empty. There's no life in it. We are just praying and going away. Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, we go away. La! One day, Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman saw a man praying. He said, come here. How long have you been praying like this? He said, 40 years. He said, wallahi, if you pray like this, Allah will never accept your salah. Pray like this for 100 years. How are we praying? This prayer itself. How? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam finished praying. A man came in and he prayed. The man prayed. Lashing. When he met the stream, the Prophet said, Ta'al, come. He said, Erzi, fasalli, fa'innaka lam tusalli. Go back and pray again because you have not prayed. No. The man prayed, but the Prophet is saying that you have not prayed. It means a man can be praying and he's not praying. The question is, how will he know how to pray? Halakha. Where are they? It is meetings we are doing. Yes, contributing money, cooperating. These are the basic concerns to us. And after you build the house and buy the idarika, you die and go. It will remain only salah. Even the salah that if you remain, you are not doing it well. What kind of thing do we think Allah is? Day of Qiyamah is a great day. So the one who plays with it, he will regret. It's not something to toy with. We know what we joke with now, brothers. We know what we joke with. We know what we don't joke with. Unfortunately, what Allah does not want us to joke with is what we are joking with. But we choose what we don't want people to joke with. That when the people joke with you, we start warning them, stop it. We are joking with the things Allah takes strongly. Unfortunately. Really unfortunate. We have to wake up. And rightly so. We have to wake up and rightly so. Men, women, children. It is as if we are sleeping. If you go to the group, it is Abdurazak, you see there, Rashid, Asiatu, they are the ones you see there. I tell you, the Mushrikun themselves are few. The basic, fundamental Mushrikun are few. It is the Muslimun, Al-Ladina Yushrikun, that you are going to see there. Muslims that become Mushrik, they are the ones you see. Brothers, let's take this thing straight. Allah is not joking with it. We beg Allah to forgive us our mistakes and make us better Muslims. We must be better Muslims. We want good governance, we don't want good Islam. The issues of this world, we want a good governor. But what we will do in this world and hereafter, we don't want to do good ones. We know Baba Honor. We know the honors that people have been doing. When you see the Baba one, you are recognizing, you are happy about it. What about your hereafter? You will leave this honor and go. Or you will carry the honor into your grave. What you will take along, your zad, your provision, are you preparing it? Are you preparing? May Allah help us. We'll stop here, inshallah. The same time, inshallah, after Salatul Asr, specifically at 4:30. But from 4 o'clock after Asr, I will sit down here. We will take questions. When it is 4:30, we start the business. And inshallah, business. No. Weekends, inshallah. On Sundays, specifically, Yawm al-Ahad, or Ayyam al-Ahad. So, at 6 o'clock, Assalamu alaikum, so that we can go and make Maghrib in our various localities. So because of that, if we check our resources, we'll see we are even past 6 o'clock. But the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, we must always give preference to the big ones amongst us. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت